You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. As always, I'm your host, Mark King, for this very show. Got a big show for you guys today. Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian will be on in the third segment of this show. We'll talk with him. Our conversation kind of got interrupted a little bit. I had some problems with my internet tonight. I just decided it didn't want to work. But I appreciate Chris coming on anyway and working through some technical stuff. But we still had a good 10-15 minute conversation about the Grizzlies. Got a bit of breaking news. I don't know if it's breaking news. It's news nonetheless. But Adrian Wojnarowski tweeted tonight, for the first time, Memphis will begin listening to trade offers on franchise stars Marc Gasol and Mike Conley. League sources tell ESPN Memphis has reached a crossroads and is preparing to weigh deals involving one or both of its cornerstone veterans. Story soon on ESPN. So go read the story. I mean, the story's not much there other than the tweet right there. It's just the fact that the Grizzlies are prepared to move on. And so we'll talk about that as well through this show. We're not going to have a super long show today as we get ready for the Charlotte Hornets coming in tonight to take on the Grizzlies. And I don't expect to win that game at all. And I think if you move your expectations for this Grizzlies team to not expecting to win at all, you might be surprised, and I promise you'll be less disappointed, and it'll be easier to deal with. Trust me, it'll be easier. But we'll start with this Marc Gasol news, or just the Marc Gasol and Mike Conley news. You know, I wrote a column after the Grizzlies game on today, but it was about last night's game, and it was the same thing that we'd seen over and over again. Same thing, same words, same everything. And it's just a situation where I like walking, you know, we're in the presser for JB, and they're like, what are we supposed to ask JB that's different than a week ago when they lost against the Bucks and we were here doing the same thing? And like, what are we supposed to go in the locker room and ask Mike and Mark? And I thought it was just, it was interesting. And so it's interesting for the Grizzlies to, I guess, publicly, you know, I guess not publicly say it, but, you know, not so publicly through Woj say, hey, we're shopping. And so you see that tweet and immediately everybody from everybody's team going, huh, what can we get that, you know, what now that they're not on the block, but, you know, they're listening to offers. My kind of first instinct was, well, they should be always be listening to offers no matter what. I mean, if they weren't already listening to offers, I don't think they're doing their job. But again, this is kind of a public thing where they are saying that this is a thing that might happen. Another interesting thing that happened, we waited around in the locker room for quite a bit to talk to Mark. And then after we left, I guess Peter Edmund stayed a little longer and talked with Mark. But he had a quote from Peter's story on The Athletic. If you haven't read it, go check it out. It's interesting. But here's the quote. I want to read it directly. The quote is, okay, remove me from the equation. Now what? Think you're going to win more games? Maybe, maybe. But you've got to start somewhere, right? So I'm saying if you take me out, okay, maybe you take the pressure off winning, but you're still going to have to fix it, or you're going to have to continue to lose. It took us a lot of years and a lot of hard work to put butts in those seats out there to create that feeling, that pride, for us to give it up. It's interesting. And then he also went to so far as to say that, now much, not so like out in so many words, but it was almost like a goodbye of sorts. Like it was almost giving the ownership in the front office kind of an okay. Like if you trade me, it's okay. And it's an interesting thought from Mark in that conversation with Peter Edmondson, that it almost felt like he kind of knew and kind of sees the writing on the wall and understands that it's time for the Grizzlies to move on from him and them to part ways. And so it was a very interesting Q&A. Again, if you haven't read it, go read it for sure. But it was interesting to see Mark say some of those things, just because like Monday was just like it was different. You know, it was one of those days where if he was any other team or any other season, like the coach would have been fired. Like, it's what it is. Like an Anthony Davis, no Anthony Davis team, just like the way they got beat, the way it happened. And just, I think it's a position where, you know, I think that's a fireable offense. And unfortunately, you can't do that in the Grizzlies situation. They're kind of stuck now. And so now the Grizzlies hopefully get a good offer for Gasol. You know, you hope that Mark, after everything he's done, you hope that he can kind of go to a contender and actually win some games, get in the playoffs, and spend the rest couple of his years on a winning team. And same thing for Mike. I'm not so sure they move on from Mike right away. You know, I'm not even sure they move on from Gasol before the trade deadline. I think that is increasingly more likely, especially after the Woj bomb and especially after Monday's game. I think that's increasingly more likely, but I think I'd still be surprised if they're both gone after the trade deadline. Marc Gasol much less than Mike. I think Mike will still be here. But you know, even if they do move on, you hope for those guys' sake that they're able to move on to teams that are winning, teams that are good playoff teams, and they can spend their last years that they're able to play in this league on a team that, you know, you can maybe have a chance to win a championship. And so hopefully for them it works out. Hopefully for the Grizzlies it works out. So I mean, any kind of trade deal you're looking at is going to be especially for Mark, the salaries are so huge, you should be looking for some type of bad contract, not necessarily expiring right away, some combination of bad contract that's got a few years left on it, plus assets. And assets can either be trade or picks or some type of younger player that maybe people are down on, maybe some type of restricted free agent that you can either decide to pay or not in the offseason. Those are the type of deals the Grizzlies are going to get. They're not going to get Marc Gasol for draft picks. First of all, you can't because of salaries. And second of all, no, he's not worth that. So the idea, whenever you're playing with the trade machine, make sure you keep that in mind, because that's the type of deal they're going to get, is some type of bad contract. So find a team that has a bad player with a big contract. Bismack Biyombo is an example people throw out, something like that, a Mozgov, something like that. And then you kind of try to pair some kind of young asset with it, or pick something like that, where a team like maybe the Blazers, who want, maybe if they want cap space, something like, you know, Blazers, Dallas, Charlotte, you know, those are some teams that you could probably look at. But again, the Grizzlies they need to listen to every single thing out there, and hopefully they will be able to make a trade that's beneficial for both Mark and the franchise as a whole. Coming up next, we'll continue this conversation, get a little bit into the Charlotte game tonight, and then in that third segment, we'll talk to Chris Harrington of the Daily Memphian. Welcome back to the show again. The Grizzlies, not so publicly or through Woj or however you want to say it, they have understood now that it's time to move on from Mark and are listening to any and all offers. The Grizzlies have several people on expiring contracts this year: Jamaica Green, Garrett Temple, Matt Caspi, and Justin Holiday. Holiday can't be traded with other players, but if they move Gasol, let me rephrase that. Even if they don't move Gasol, they should be sellers. It is there are so many buyers right now in the NBA. The Grizzlies should be sellers. They should be selling literally every expiring contract they can get there to move. Caspi, Matt, Green, everybody should be moved. Everybody. Even Justin Holiday. It is not working. Whatever you think of Justin Holiday, ends up being bad deal, didn't work, whatever. You give up assets to get him. See if you can't flip him for also flip him for assets. You know, hopefully that Gasol deal will evolve where it is a more of a bigger deal. Obviously you're gonna get bad contracts back, but hopefully you get some type of young player with it. And then, you know, Jamaica Green, or you can even, you know, you could have, if you have Gasol plus a Jamaica Green, Jamaica Green is actually a realistic asset that teams might want, a role player off the bench. So maybe you even pair Marc Gasol with Jamaica Green, to make it a, you know, take it on a bad salary plus other young players, make it more enticing for that team. Or Marc Gasol, Garrett Temple. Garrett Temple is widely regarded in this league. People like him. People like his game. He's a very much a 3-and-D player when he's not asked to do more than what he's supposed to be doing. He's a very good role player in his own right. when he's obviously not playing 38 minutes and playing starter's role. He's not where he should be in this team. So you pair Mark with Garrett or Michael Garrett, you know, there's some combinations there that could get you some better players or get you some different packages. But either way, all those players, and I'm not so sure, I'm not on the, like, you have to trade Mark or Mike right away. I don't think that matters. I think Mike can play with anybody and make anybody better. But I also think it's not fair to Mike if you're going to trade everything and kind of start the rebuild to keep him here and make him play with a really bad team for the rest of his years in the NBA. I think it's a disservice to him as much as a disservice to the team. And so I think if you do trade Mark and you go along that path and you start trading everybody else, it just makes sense to let Mike go as well, just because, again, it's a disservice to him to make him play on a really shitty team for the last, you know, whatever years of his in his career. It's just not fair to him. As much as he loves the city, I'm sure, as much as he wants to be here, he also wants to win. You know, he's an NBA player. So, you know, you do the right, do right by him by just, you know, even taking input where he might want to go. Anything's on the table at this point. So the Grizzlies need to take that into consideration. But every player should be selling. You should be selling every player at this point. And you need to look at not the playoff race anymore. You need to look the other way. I mean, the Grizzlies are currently sitting in sixth from the bottom right now. And the they are probably not going to catch the Hawks. I mean, I think they're still too far out of the top four to really finish and get a good pick this year again. So, you know, it's weird, but I think you probably just, you sell everything and everybody. And if that makes you worse, which it probably will this year, then you just do it. You sell everything, get rid of everything. And I think, you know, you take the draft pick later or deal with it later. If you can get out of the eighth spot, I think so. That's the goal this year, is to get to ninth from the bottom, get rid of that pick for the Celtics, go ahead and get off that obligation. And then so that way next year you're not obligated, because you're going to be bad. If you do the sell thing and you sell everybody and Mike and Mark are gone, you're going to be bad again next year. And hopefully you get a better pick next year. But you definitely don't want it to be a top six protected next year as well. We have to be even worse. The goal should still be to get off that Boston pick. I think you still try to get, to ninth from the bottom, get off of that. And then, you know, the next couple years, yes, you're going to be bad and you're going to be prepared for that. But, you know, you get the idea of, you can look towards the future. You can watch Jaren Jackson play, Kyle Anderson, those guys play together. You know, and there's some scenarios where you can get some, I think, some good-ish players for Mark, Mike, the rest of what you got. I think there's a scenario where you can get younger and slightly better, you know, players than you, obviously not better than Mike and Mark, but good-ish players on, you know, on good deals. I mean, I think there's a scenario where, you know, you're going to be bad, but it would be better to watch than what we're watching right now. What we're watching right now is just depressing. I mean, it's just like a shell of anything you ever were as this team with Mike and Mark at the helm. I mean, it's depressing. And so at least in that scenario where, yes, you're probably going to lose, but at least you have guys, young guys going out there playing hard, understanding what their roles are and just trying to get better, you know, day in and day out. And there's something fun to watch. The reward that you look forward to is getting another top draft pick. You know, there's always a reward in this game, whether it good or bad. If you're bad, you're going to be a good draft pick. If you're good, you're going to be in the playoffs. There should always be a reward there. And right now the Grizzlies don't really have one other than getting away from this Boston pick. So hopefully that will give you some semblance of light at the end of the tunnel. It's selling all the guys you have now and get into a scenario where you have youngish, goodish players from the things you get back, to where, yeah, you're going to have some bad contracts. You're going to have some bad, you know, some of those in there mixed in, because that's what you have to take back to get rid of Mike and Mark because their salaries are so inflated. But in the midst of all that, you should have some players you can point to and say, hey, those guys can make up the franchise for the future. Jaren and Kyle and Dylan and whoever else you get, those are the guys that we can look to and say, you know what, it's going to be fun in 3 years when they're really, really good. So hopefully the Grizzlies are able to do that. I'd be surprised, again, if they're able to do all that, just because they've never done anything like that, you know. So they've never done a situation where they've been in charge of something like that and were able to make those smart moves for secondary, you know, kind of second-tier moves for Jermichael or Jaren, or excuse me, not Jaren, my bad, Jermichael, Garrett, anything like that. So, you know, until they prove otherwise, it's still going to be kind of a, nervous tension of what they're actually going to do and we're actually going to be able to pull off. So, again, the Grizzlies have a report from Woj coming out tonight. Just the idea that they are open to listening to offers now kind of publicly of Mark and Mike. But, yeah, it's been a weird time for sure this year, and it feels like it's coming to an end and kind of starting over, and however you feel about it, it's you know, Mike and Mark have been a part of it for a long time, so encourage you to get out to the home games, this homestand we're at right now, because after they get that, they won't be back home again like February 5th or 6th, so this could be some of the last games that you see Mark and Mike in play as a Grizzly. So I would encourage you to get out there. Make sure you see these guys play because it could be one of their last. Coming up next, we're going to have Chris Harrington of the Daily Memphian join me and talk about some of these things that happened tonight and kind of some of the things that are obviously some of the bigger ideas, trading Mark, all that stuff. We'll talk with Chris Harrington coming up right after the break. For those of you who don't know what I do for a living, like actually get paid to do, yes, I cover the Grizzlies as a media member, and it's fun, and it's a hobby for me, and I do this podcast, and I write, and I love those things, but actually gets paid and paid no bills. I'm actually a videographer, and I run a company, and we do all types of events, from birthday parties to corporate events, corporate videos, business videos, testimonials. Literally gave someone a GoPro once. They took it on their vacation. I edited videos from their vacation from iPhones, GoPros, turned it into videos for them. Weddings, literally whatever can be videoed, I have done it in the past. So if you need something done, if you know someone is getting married, if you have a small business and want to emphasize your video content on social media, on your website, whatever that is, please get in touch with me. Our company is 85creative.com. You can go to that website, see all the videos we've done, go to 85creative.com, spell it out all the way, all lowercase, 85creative.com. Let us do a video for you. Let us emphasize your business profile on your website or create social media content for your business to get engaging people on Facebook, Twitter, whatever your favorite social media website is. But 85creative.com, again, spell the word out, all lowercase, get in touch with me so we can do a video for you. Welcome back to the show. I have a great guest on the show, Chris Harrington, with me today. If you guys don't already follow him, make sure you're following him. Make sure you're reading his stuff at the Daily Memphian. Chris, thanks for joining me, man.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Obviously, we're recording this on Tuesday night for the Wednesday show. We had clearly a Woj bomb happen tonight. Said the Grizzlies are, for the first time, actually taking calls on trading Mark and Mike. I think there's something. Have you confirmed that independently, or what's the news there?
I have. I talked to someone tonight. I characterize as a source with knowledge of the team's thinking. And what I was told is they are going to gauge the market for both Mike Conley and Marc Gasol. They are not, you know, committed or determined to make a trade now. You know, either or both could very well just carry into the summer, but they are going to gauge the market on both players. That is correct.
So knowing what I know now, I guess what do you think the odds are now? We see a Gasol trade before the deadline, as opposed to where we're at, you know, at the forum on Monday night.
I had said before this week that I thought Gasol would not be with the Grizzlies next season, but that I thought it would wait to get itself sorted out this summer. After Monday's game, I wrote, you know, even before this Woj thing, I wrote that, you know, I thought half jokingly, but only half, that I thought the odds of an in-season Gasol trade went up at least 5% on Monday. And it may be that they went up more than that. It depends on what the offers are, right? If you're, you know, with Conley, you have to have him under contract. With Gasol, right, it's way trickier because you have this whole opt-out situation. And some people have said, well, you got to trade Gasol now, otherwise you might opt out and you lose him for nothing. And the point I've made is that nothing is not necessarily worse than something. It depends on what the something is. Like, the nothing is sort of a neutral value. The something could be a negative value. And so, you know, if the fear is Gasol might opt out and walk, well, that clears immediately $25 million off your books, right? And so if you think that's going to happen this summer, the question is, are the trade offers more valuable to you than having that money just instantly disappear? The other part of it, which not many people talk about, but I've raised a couple of times, is it possible the Grizzlies would trade Marcus all now in order to prevent him from opting into the $26 million, right? And to ensure that that's not there. I don't know if that's necessarily the case, but I think it's tricky enough with Gasol that it's not just a matter of get the best offer you can now and make a deal. Because it may be that whatever happens this summer, even if it's him just opting out and walking away for nothing, is better than a deal you might do. A deal that you can do now is not necessarily better than what's going to happen this summer, even if this summer is him opting out and leaving for nothing. That you have to gauge, you know, the value of what you get. It's not just as simple as get the best offer you can now, or otherwise you might lose him for nothing.
Right. Yeah, I think that's something things that I've seen out there, I guess, are more or less, you know, taking on bad contracts with, you know, maybe some type of young player that people are down on, or restricted free agent or something like that. But I mean, the odds of Mark being traded now, are you think they're significantly higher after this report from Woj before the deadline? Or I think I've said on the show and written that I'd still think be surprised if they move him before the deadline.
Well, I don't think the report changes things. I think the report reveals a change that has happened, right?
Right.
It's not that it changes because of the report. It's that the report expresses a movement that is happening. And so, yeah, I think the fact that it has come out, the fact that they are now sort of, you know, not on the record, but acknowledging tacitly that yeah, we're thinking about this, suggests that it is a much greater possibility than I think we thought before, than it was probably a week ago. I really think that game on Monday shifted some things. It was so demoralizing and so bad. It was sort of like a come to Jesus day where, I mean, I just think a lot of things shifted that day.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those days where you probably see someone get fired. You know, you see something happen, but obviously.
Oh, it felt like we've been at these games. The Fizdale thing was a surprise, but like.
Right.
When Ivarone was let go, I was even here, you know, with Sidney Lowe, you know, that second season. There are times where it feels like, okay, the coach is about to go.
Right.
And it does feel like that now. I don't necessarily think that's going to happen, but that is the way it felt this week.
Yeah, I mean, what's your thoughts on JB? I mean, I largely think that he's had some weird stuff. It's had some weird lineups for sure. Some just strange issues that go on, but nothing that I see like, you know, he's really done something significant this year. But I also think he's kind of limited in his ears and the line, you know, just the people he has on the roster.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are a lot of issues, you know, in terms of management issues and roster construction issues that are above his pay grade. And I think there have been lots of performance and injury issues that are sort of out of his hands. That said, it's hard to see the fingerprints of coaching making a positive impact on the team this year, whether that is play calling or that's, you know, rotation management or that is, you know, inspiring, you know, sustained effort. It's hard to see what he has done that's made a positive impact. In a way that I think you could in different ways, you could see Lionel Hollins' fingerprints on things. You could see Dave Yeager's fingerprints on things. You could see David Fizdale's fingerprints on things in terms of, you know, changing the way some players played in a positive way from a skill standpoint, from a usage standpoint. I think it's just really hard, no matter how close you look, to find the positive fingerprints of coaching on this team this season. I think, you know, there are lots of problems this team has that are not, you know, on his ledger. There's problems with management decisions and the impact those decisions have made from big things down to little things like the trade that got bungled that probably, you know, messed up the locker room some. I think there are player-related things in terms of performance and especially injury that are sort of out of his hands. But when you watch the team this season, it's hard to see the fingerprints of good coaching in a positive way on the team. It's hard to see the impact of coaching, whether that's as small as like plays out of timeouts or in-game management or how rotations are juggled or in terms of inspiring effort from players. And I think if you look back over the years, you've seen you can think about, obviously they were better teams in most cases, but you could think about specific things that Lionel Hollins made that happen, or Dave Yeager made that happen, or David Fizdale made that happen. And it's hard to find anything right. that you can point to the coaching staff and say the coaching staff did that.
Yeah.
And so I think it's been disappointing for the entire franchise this season, but the coaching staff is absolutely, you know, has a full share of the disappointment, I would say.
Well, I think it's like what Amarius and Kofi and I were talking about this last night, or I guess Monday night, the game, that it's more like last year there was always a reward at the end of the year. You know, there was always going to be a high draft pick, and then this year it almost seems like there's nothing real to look forward to, because if you finish ninth and give your draft, you know, you could give your draft pick away, but even if you finish sixth, there's no real guy that you can look for. It's not really a great draft. I mean, it just feels different than last year.
Oh, I agree with that. I think what's going to feel different is if these trades happen, and if, you know, you have other front office coaching stuff that follows it, if there is a sense of they have closed the book completely on the past, and this, and, you know, instead of a transition, like we're totally in a new thing, then I think that will breed some degree of energy and interest, even if, you know, dividends don't immediately follow. At least there'll be some novelty to that. It won't feel like you're just watching something slide down the hill. It'll be like you're watching something new being built. And so even if there's not immediately a new addition of, you know, Jaren Jackson Jr.'s caliber, which there's not going to be unless they get super lucky in the lottery, at least there will be hopefully a sense of, you know, you're watching the new house being built, right? Instead of just watching the old house deteriorate. And so even if, like, you know, neither of those things are inhabitable, at least one, you know, gives you some sense of hope or interest, right?
Thanks again to Chris Harrington for joining me in that segment. Again, I apologize. There were some technical difficulties at the end there. My internet decided to take a poo-poo and not work on us. But I appreciate Chris sticking it out with me and joining me for that conversation. I thought it was insightful. As always, you can always catch him on the Jeff Calkins Show every day at 10. Read his stuff at the Daily Memphian as well. I encourage you to do that. He's a very one of the best in the business in Memphis, and I appreciate him taking the time out to join me. As always, if you're not following the show, follow the show at Locked On Grizz on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter at King_producer. If you want to be a featured sponsor on this show, please email me at LockedOnGrizz@gmail.com. We have a great audience, constantly growing. Literally every single week, we see our subscriber count go up. So please email me if you want to be a featured sponsor at LockedOnGrizz@gmail.com. Make sure you subscribe in iTunes so you don't miss an episode. Literally automatically download. So subscribe there, or Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts every day, or just go to simply LockedOnGrizzlies.com.